Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Fragbite Group's presentation of the first quarter 2023. My name is Marcus Teilman, and with me today, and I'm the CEO of Fragbite Group, and with me today, I have our CFO, Lars Johansson. I will start off by going through the highlights of the first quarter of this year. I will give you a brief introduction to Fragbite Group to those of you who are new. I will also go over an operational update. I will, after that, hand over to Lars, who will go over the financials, and then I will round off with an outlook for the rest of the year, and we will round off this session with a Q&A. Highlights for the first quarter 2023. Net revenues increased slightly from 54.7 million to 55.2 million Swedish kronor, while EBITDA declined slightly from 2.4 million in from the first quarter last year to 1.9 million Swedish kronor this year. Revenue and adjusted EBITDA for the first time, we will display per area, business area. As you can see, in the gaming segment, the revenues have slightly declined year-over-year, and in the gaming segment, you find the FunRock and Prey Studios, which is our in-house studio where we have published the game MMA Manager 2. It also comprises Playdigious in France, which is our porting and indie game segment, and it also contains Lucky Kat's hyper-casual business. In the esports segment, we have Fragbite AB, while in Web3 segment, we have the Web3 business of Lucky Kat and also our Gibraltar entity, WAGMI. As you can see, in this table, you see that the revenues have increased somewhat in esports, while the profitability have somewhat declined. However, in Web3, we have increased the revenues quite significantly from 1.8 million Swedish kronor last year to 6.1 million Swedish kronor this year, and also with a positive EBITDA. All in all, we have also increased our costs in order to meet the current growth opportunities that we see. One part that we also communicated last year is that we have increased our capacity in Playdigious for increasing number of game releases and so on, and I will come back to that later on in the presentation. Moving on, during this first quarter, we've had a high level of activity in all business areas. In Playdigious, we have continued our work in order to increase the capacity to release more game engines, game titles in the future. We have entered into several negotiations with IP owners for coming titles to publish, and we will come back with more information about that in the coming weeks or months. We are in the final stages in some several larger IPs. For mobile games, mobile gaming, which is FunRock and Prey Studios, we have also entered into a mutual agreement to terminate the publishing deal with the external publisher and bring back the IP MMA Manager 2 for in-house publishing. I will come back with more details on that later on in the presentation. Also now in the first quarter, we have had a high level of activity also in our esports business. It's not being displayed in the P&L statements simply because we don't have that much of activity. We are gearing up the organization and the activities within our esports vertical for especially for Q3 and Q4. In Swedish CS:GO Cup, we have signed now the partnership deals with Max Burgers, for example, and also with Bonnier and Expressen and Space Arena. The final for Swedish CS:GO Cup will be played at Space Arena on the 3rd of December this year. Also, we have made a lot of preparations within our Web3 business. We are well prepared, I would say, for the coming launches now. In just a few weeks' time, we will have the NFT sale of Cosmocadia, and we are also preparing for further token sales. Also, like I said, we have strengthened the teams across the business in order to meet the current growth opportunities that we see. All in all, I'm excited about this year. I think that we have built a good foundation thanks to the high level of activity now in the first quarter in order to meet the growth opportunities that we see ahead of us during 2023. So, for those of you who are new listeners here, and I know that there will be some new listeners here on this live stream, who are Fragbite Group? Well, Fragbite Group, we are active on the global markets of traditional gaming, Web3 gaming, and esports. And what we do is that we develop, adapt, and publish games and esports concepts on both traditional and Web3 platforms. If we look at our strengths, I would say that we are definitely, we have a unique market positions where we combine all these three areas: traditional gaming, Web3 gaming, and esports. We also work with, we have a clear and outspoken M&A agenda. We are active on that side, definitely. I would say that we are always in discussions with potential targets, but we're very selective when we do acquisitions. For us, it's important to keep the entrepreneurs and founders of the companies, and it's also important that the companies we may acquire are also profitable. And our third strength is that we have a lot of expertise in all these three areas: traditional gaming, Web3 gaming, and esports. And if we then also combine that with passion, I believe that we have also high quality of all our products that we publish. Looking at the market trends and so on, and starting with gaming. Gaming is a very large market globally. We're talking about 3.2 billion players in 2022, roughly. And it has a tremendous market size of roughly $185 billion. In esports, the market size is not as big, but it's growing significantly at a higher pace. We have in 2022, esports reached 525 million people, which is an increase from previous year of 8.7%. And in Web3, it's not that easy to determine the market size. So we have looked at the investments, and investments that was done in 2022 amounted to roughly $7.6 billion, which was an increase from 2021 of 59%. So to conclude, I think that what we see is that all these three markets and the macro trends that we are seeing is that we see a paradigm shift where we in both gaming and esports, where we see that this is coming from Web3 as well. This enables us lots of new opportunities to engage with our players within the Web3 business and also how we monetize in the Web3 business. So we see that all these three markets are converging, and I would definitely say that we are at the forefront in Fragbite Group of meeting all these growth opportunities in the long run and going forward. So again, looking at how our company is looking, as I said, in gaming, we have Playdigious, which is a company that we acquired in 2021, in May. It's a company that is soon celebrating its eighth-year anniversary. It's a steady business that has been growing since day one, and it's a well profitable company. Also in gaming, we have FunRock and Prey Studios, and also the hyper-casual business in Lucky Kat, although that business has been declining slightly year-over-year. But all in all, the gaming segment is our largest segment in terms of revenue, but it's also a well-established and profitable business. Looking at esports, we are now building up the organization and to be prepared for the coming growth opportunities that we see. Last year, we launched a Swedish CS:GO Cup, which is a great concept, in my opinion, and in order to continue to monetize on that concept, both here in Sweden and also in the future, perhaps also taking that concept to other countries as well and other markets. And then in Web3, that comprises of the Lucky Kat's Web3 business, but also with our newly formed company in Gibraltar, WAGMI. And we are definitely breaking new ground here in this evolving market, and I will be coming back with more details about that business later on in this presentation. So I would say that all in all, we are a well-diversified company, and are meeting all these opportunities that we see in these three markets and areas. Looking at Fragbite ecosystem, as I said, the base business, so to speak, is within gaming, and the majority of our revenues is within gaming, and it's a profitable core business. And on the base of this profitable core business, we leverage our expertise within both esports and Web3. And we have, of course, different business models across these markets, depending on the type of business that we are running. I would say that we are a pioneer within Web3. We are a regulated company, but we are also a publicly traded company in Fragbite Group. So we're definitely a pioneer from that aspect. We will soon be releasing our second NFT collection now in conjunction with the NFT sale of Cosmocadia, which is the second Web3 title that we have. So we are breaking new ground. Also last year, for those of you who remember, we also did a strategic token sale of over $3 million. And in esports, we have our live streaming services connected to our tournament IPs. We have Swedish CSGO Cup, as I said, as the largest tournament IP, but we also run Swedish Chess League in collaboration with the Swedish Chess Federation. Also, we have released our agency business under a new brand called Config, where we have signed and entered into new contracts with some large companies that I will come back to as well later on in the presentation. All right, so let's move on to the operational update, gaming. And like I said, in the gaming business area, since this is the first time that we are displaying also the numbers within each gaming area, again, I'd like to reiterate that within the gaming area, we have MMA Manager 2 within Funark and Prey Studios. Playdigious is also included in this segment, and also the hyper-casual business of Lucky Kat. So let's start with Playdigious then. What have we done since we last met in February? Well, also during the first quarter, we released Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge on the Netflix platform. That happened in mid-January. We released a DLC in Northgard. And we have also released a DLC in Dead Cells. We are prepared for the launch of the Castlevania DLC for Dead Cells, and we're really looking forward to that one. We have Legend of Keepers that will be released or scheduled for a release now on the 23rd of May. And we had Little Nightmares scheduled for release now in Q1 this year. However, that game has been delayed, so it will be released later on this year. But that is also because we want to release games with a high level of quality. What's also exciting to see is that Spiritfarer won the Pegasus Trophy Award for the best foreign mobile game. And we have two new titles that will be announced. And in addition to this, we are in several advanced discussions with different IP owners. And talking about IPs and so on, we have Dead Cells as some kind of a benchmark to look at. Dead Cells was released a few years ago with a great success. The game has been released both in the West but also in China. On top of this, we are releasing DLCs, like I just said, but we have also released the game on Apple Arcade. So we have released the game on different platforms, but also in different markets. So this is an ideal IP that we would love to sign more of these IPs going forward as well. I would say that not all IPs can become this successful as Dead Cells, but it's at least a benchmark, and this is where we really want to be in the future. Sports Manager games. Well, when it comes to our Sports Manager game engine, MMA Manager 2, that was published in 2022. We have been working on several improvements in the game, and we are seeing that the underlying KPIs have been improving if we go back in time, a few months in time. What we have done is also that we have reached a mutual agreement with our external publisher to terminate the agreement, and we are now in the process of bringing the game back to our stores. With that, we will also be able to increase the margins for that game, and we will also start with in-house UA capabilities. So I'm really excited about that, but in short term, we really need to make sure that the game will be transferred back in the best possible way in order to maintain the organic traffic as well. But I'm really looking forward to that, to get the game back, although that we have learned a lot from having the game with the external publisher. So I'm also very happy with that collaboration that we've had with that one. And now we will also, of course, improve the game with more features and functionalities. Moving on to the esports segment. Well, the guys have been working really hard in entering into new agreements. Last year, as I said, the final reached 1.6 million unique viewers for the live stream and over 3 million viewers for the streams. We had a sold-out Space Arena here in Sweden, in Stockholm, and we brought home the best CS:GO teams that played in the Swedish CS:GO Cup. Now we have just announced that we have signed the title sponsor Max Burgers. We have also entered into a partnership deal with Bonnier and Expressen, and also a partnership deal with Space. So the final will be played this year in December in Space Arena, but the qualifications will start in September. Also, we have, we will continue with the ongoing works in more sponsorships and partnership deals, so that is ongoing. And what's good this year is that we started this work in selling these partnership deals and sponsorship deals in the beginning of the year. Last year, we signed a major deal, so to speak, for knowing that we will get the best teams and the best partners. We signed that in late June, early July. So I think that we're much more prepared this year, and that gives us more opportunities, of course. Moving on also in the esports segment is that we have our gaming agency. It's an award-winning agency. It has been running for over 10 years of experience. We recently launched it under a new brand, which is called Config, and we are guiding companies and helping them to market their brands towards the esports audience, which is called the Unreachables. And you also see some large brands here, such as Philips, Samsung, L'Oréal, and Spendrups, for example. Okay, let's look into the Web3 vertical. And it's been a very active quarter, I would say, now in the first quarter. We are preparing the organization to meet the growth opportunities now. And what we have recently communicated as well is that we will do the NFT sale, the sale of the NFT collection for Cosmocadia now on the 24th of May. And that will happen on the newly launched Sui blockchain as well, and we're really excited about that. We are preparing for the marketing activities around the NFT sale. And also after the NFT sale, we can also enjoy secondary revenues from once the NFTs will be start to trade on third-party marketplaces. On top of that, we will start to, I mean, the, sorry, let's start with Panzerdogs as well, because I'm not reading the slides, I'm looking at you guys in the camera. So let's start at Panzerdogs then. And the game will, first of all, be migrated to the Sui blockchain. And after that, we will also do another token sale as well, and then we also plan to go public with the token tokens as well on exchanges. So that's really exciting, and we are in preparation stage. We have entered into an agreement with Amber that will help us with the liquidity as well, and to advise us on how to do this. After that, we will fully launch the game, and we will also start with full UA, user acquisition, on that game. So that feels great that we will now finally launch the full version of the game on both PC and mobile. And for those of you who have followed us at Fragbite Group for a long time, we did the NFT sale of Panzerdogs in Q4 2021. So now it's time to do the full launch of Panzerdogs. I'm so much looking forward to that one. But now, again, let's go back to Cosmocadia then. As I said, this is one of the first projects on the Sui blockchain. The blockchain was launched on May 3rd, and we will launch our NFT collection on the 24th of May. We have now in the first quarter focused on entering into strategic partnerships with and preparing for different marketing campaigns, but also to build up our and increase our community. And I think you can see that here that we have Twitter followers of over 47,000 and Discord members of over 19,000 followers. And again, the NFT sale is planned to start on the 24th of May, and the holders will get access to the first playable demo. And in order to develop the game, they will also be able to help us to improve the game and suggest new game features and functionalities. That's how we are working with our community, and this is what also Web3 enables us to do. Like I said, our in-game tokens called Koban, we are preparing for another sale of tokens, could be one or more sales of that tokens. We will get back soon with more information on that. But like I said, we have entered into an agreement with Amber Group as a market maker as well, and that will also help us with the liquidity and also advice on where and how to list the Koban tokens. We will, I think, in a few weeks' time, come back with more information about the timeline and so on. But we have done a lot of preparations now in the first quarter this year. That's why I'm also so positive about the future for 2023. But not to forget, in the Web3 business, we also have the Sandbox partnership, and we are doing several projects with the Sandbox. The first project was called Lucky Cat Land, but we also have ongoing development with a parkour theme, as I spoke about in the last quarterly presentation. And we are also now in ongoing developments for the Madballs project. And as you can see, the Sandbox, they are working with some really big brands such as Adidas, Ubisoft, and Vault, and Warner Music as well. So I'm also glad that we are in this partnership with the Sandbox. And with that, I hand over to you, Lars, to go over the financials.
Thank you, Marcus, and hello, everybody, and over to the financials. Our first quarter net revenue amounted to 55.2, up from 54.7 for the same quarter previous year, but with some aid from the weak SEK from foreign exchange development. EBITDA amounted to 1.9, down from 2.4 same quarter previous year, and I will elaborate a little bit on that on the next coming slides. Our goodwill amortizations amounted to 21.5 million versus 20.6 first quarter last year. And that is foreign exchange effects as well, since our goodwill is denominated in euros. So then as a result, we had an EBIT of minus 21.4. We had a net result of 25.3. Looking at the development of the company over time, I show here the rolling 12-month figure. And the reason, both for revenue and EBITDA. And the reason why I think this gives a better picture of development of the company is that the activities within our subsidiaries, as Marcus touched upon, vary quarter to quarter. In some cases, it's planned. For example, within the esport business, where most of the activities take place in the end of the year. And also, the pattern with which we release new games is not an even one, so it could happen more in one quarter than another. And also, as Marcus touched upon, the Web3 business, since, for example, an NFT sale, which doesn't happen every quarter, but when it happens, it has a great impact in that particular quarter. So revenues are growing, both organically and through acquisitions. EBITDA, as you can see, does not show the same clear trend, but please then remember that in the fourth quarter of 2021, we made a very successful NFT sales of roughly 9.9 million SEK with a very high gross margin. And that sale and the result of that sale was completely accounted for in that particular quarter. And also remember that in the third quarter last year, we made a likewise very successful sales of tokens in the range of $3 million. But that is recognized revenue-wise over a period of 3 years. And then you ask, why this? And we have tried to elaborate on that a little bit in our report, but the reason is that these are two completely different types of digital asset. An NFT is a digital asset that is sold and bought, and that's the end of it. Whatever comes out of that transaction goes to the P&L that particular point in time. While an in-game token is more to be regarded as a token is more to be regarded as an in-game currency in the game, so it can be used in various ways. And since we are committed to continue to develop that game, to market the game, etc., we feel that it's prudent to allocate or recognize that revenue over a period of time. And we've said that we do this over an estimated lifetime of the game, which we've guessed to be 3 years. Very different, very difficult to guess. But that's, we can also say if that turns out to be wrong, then we may change that period of time. And if so happens, obviously we will be very, very clear in that communication. But you can also see that the EBITDA is slightly lower the past two 12-month periods. And as Marcus indicated, we have increased our capacity and thereby cost in terms, mostly within the subsidiaries, Playdigious and Lucky Kat. Playdigious has, in order to be able to capture, in both cases, to be able to both capture the growth opportunities as we see. In Playdigious' case, it's a question of more IPs or bigger IPs. And again, when it comes to the Web3, we have a fairly active agenda for the next coming quarters. But we've also taken some more cost on the company level within investor relations, within M&A, and also to some extent within finance in order to be able to deal with the transition to IFRS. Looking at the balance sheet, I will come back to the cash on the next slide. On the active side of the balance sheet here, you see a great portion of intangibles. That is goodwill. To most extent, that is goodwill. And goodwill relating to the acquisition of Fragbite AB, Playdigious, and Lucky Kat. And we amortize that goodwill over a period of 5 years because we account in accordance with the accounting principles K3. When changing to IFRS, that will be changed. Then there's another way of dealing with these intangible assets through impairment tests, etc., which we do to some extent already today. So that will have quite a dramatic impact on our P&L when moving over to IFRS. What I would like to draw your attention to is on the passive side of the balance sheet, where we have the earnout provisions in the amount of 89.6 million. The reason is that we have earnout agreements with the sellers of Lucky Kat and with the sellers of Playdigious. And the way we account for this is that we account for the maximum possible amount that can be paid out. So provided that these two companies develop and performs in accordance with their estimate, which I should add, pretty sure they will, because they are both developing very, very well. This is the amount that we'll be paying out. But not all in cash. 44% of that will be settled in cash, and the rest then through new share issues when the time comes. And out of the 44% in cash, 12% will be settled this year, and the remaining 88% will be settled during 2024. We also looked at the net interest-bearing debt divided by last 12-month EBITDA, and that ratio amounts to 2.7 times, which is higher than the same ratio in the end of last year. And the reason is, to most extent, capital working capital swings, which I will refer to on the next page. So here we have a cash flow from operating activities before changes in working capital is minus 3.1 million. And then you have these working capital swings, which could be explained by basically two things. First of all, we had a larger royalty payment that was settled during the quarter. And then we have the accounting effects of the token sales that we did Q3 last year. We did receive the $3 million, but they recognized it over a period of 3 years. So as of end of last quarter, we still have slightly more than 2 years when it comes to revenue from that transaction, and that gives this effect in the working capital. And then we had cash flow from financing, from investment activities, which is basically capitalized work on own account, i.e., we develop part of our development cost when we feel it's prudent. And lastly, the cash flow from financing activities is simply repayment of our debt. So by this, we have brought down our bank borrowings. So we end the quarter with a cash position of 16.7 million SEK. And that was it. So then I give the word back to you, Marcus.
Thank you, Lars. So let's look at the outlook then. Well, the outlook and what I see going forward is that we will continue to grow both organically and through acquisitions. We have an increased number of projects both in all areas: gaming, traditional gaming, Web3 gaming, and esports. And like I touched upon as well, is that we have increased the capacity in our reporting and publishing division in Playdigious. We have entered into some IP contracts, and we are in several discussions as well with new IPs. MMA Manager has been brought back for in-house publishing capabilities, and that will also increase the margins for that game. In esports, like I said, we will continue to further develop our agency business, now called Config, and also we will capitalize on our strong tournament IPs, such as the Swedish CS:GO Cup. In Web3, we have a lot of activities in the short term. Next up is the game updates and NFT collection sales of Cosmocadia, but we are also planning and preparing for the Koban token sales in for our in-game tokens. And before we move on to our Q&A, I'd like to say that although it's been a somewhat cautious start of the year, I look very positively to the full year of 2023 compared to 2022. And I would like to thank everyone in Fragbite Group, both in the parent company and also in our subsidiaries, for your hard work, dedication, commitment, and passion now in the first quarter. That's why I'm so much looking forward to summarize the year and then look forward for what to see what the future holds. And with that, I think that we are ready to open up for the Q&A session.
We have received a few questions, so let's see what we have. Can you say something about the interest for the coming NFT sales?
That's a really tough question, I would say, because we haven't disclosed yet on where we will perform the NFT sale. What we can say is that we are in collaboration with Sui, the blockchain as well, and also some other marketing activities. What we can see is that we have managed to increase our community, and that gives us good hopes of having a favorable NFT sale.
Can you say something about the interest for the coming NFT sales?
I think that was the question.
Sorry, I thought it disappeared.
Yeah.
What is the potential of the Sandbox partnership?
It's good, I would say. We have entered into the first deal now with the parkour thing and the Madballs as well. And that partnerships also give us scalability in how it works. I believe that we could touch base on that in the future as well, but now we are developing that project and games as well.
What is the plan for the new titles on the MMA game engine?
Well, in the short term, we will plan to continue with MMA Manager 2: Ultimate Fight and bring it back to our stores and start with in-house UA capabilities. I think that in after that, once we see that the game will continue to perform and we see that we have a good ROI on our UA investments, I think then it's time to start talking about the new titles to it. Although that we have already entered into, I mean, looking into what the future holds for that game engine, but we'll come back to that.
And a question on that. When can we have the data and the people to start pushing MMA2?
I can't give an exact date on that. That depends on a lot of external factors. And we are, of course, in talks with the external publisher. But that also depends on the platform, such as Apple App Store and Google Play Store.
And then over to Playdigious. The new titles to be announced from Playdigious, are they new contract wins?
The new titles that are to be announced are both new and old contract wins, I would say.
Back to Web3. What is the potential of the Sandbox partnership?
That's hard to say. We don't comment on the amounts, but we definitely see that we gain from that partnership, and yeah, that actually develops the team as well. But in absolute numbers, that's something that we can't disclose due to disclosure rules in the agreement.
And then there's a question regarding the working capital swing. If we can explain that a little bit further. I hope I did that during the presentation. That is basically two things, as I said. There's a major royalty payment that was settled during the quarter, and it's also the accounting effects of the fact that we did receive $3 million at the sale of the NFTs last year, but we recognized it over a period of 3 years. The esports seems to be very costly. I'm translating here. Is it large swings between the quarters, and how what's the objective for this year for this company?
Great question. Yes, it is big swings, I would say, between the quarters. In Q1, historically, it has always been a low activity quarter when it comes to both revenues and profitability. We're not happy with that the esports segment is not profitable at the moment, but we look positively about seeing a full year profitability now in 2023. Also, thanks to the partnership deals that we have just signed now for Swedish CS:GO Cup, and also that we're working on additional partnerships. But especially also with our new agency business called Config, I think that will help us to come back to profitability now in the esports segment. So I look positive for the full year figures.
And there's quite a few questions in one chunk. How are you planning to monetize on the MMA Manager 2 platform and the game going forward?
We are looking into.
And as a following question, are you evaluating other platforms such as Netflix? In that case, any timeline?
Yeah, I can start with the Netflix part. We're not in any discussion with Netflix for MMA Manager 2 title at the moment. Like I said, we really want to make sure that the game will start to continue to grow, and to secure that we have a positive ROI on our marketing spend. I think we have good capabilities within the group as it is now to start seeing good numbers and with increased margin. Of course, now, as I said, we need to bring back the game in the best possible way, and then start to try out the in-house UA, and after that, of course, start to scale the marketing.
Web3 contributed $6 million in the sales. I assume $3 million stems from tokens. I can confirm that. Does the remaining contribution come from transaction fees?
I think that just a small part comes from transaction fees.
And then we have Sandbox and.
Yes, and some other agreements. Yes.
Yeah. Coming NFT and token sales, what are your expectations? Higher, below, or on par with the latest rounds last year?
That's too early to comment on, and we will, of course, soon communicate more about the coming NFT and token sales.
The number of shareholders is decreasing. What are your action plans to change this?
I think that our action plans are quite clear, and we are talking to several investors. We have several investor meetings planned and so on. And of course, we need to be more visible for the audience. So we are planning more public presentations as well, in conjunction with several gaming and investor days as well.
According to Redeye, some titles are delayed until the second half of this year. Which titles is that?
Little Nightmares. Yeah. That was previously scheduled for now for Q1 this year. But now that will happen in the second half of this year.
That's it, I think.
Okay. Then final remarks from my end. I'd like to thank everyone for listening in and for asking questions. We look forward to meeting you again in August when we publish our report for the second quarter. Thank you and have a nice day.
Thank you very much.